Protection and Public Affairs. Today is Tuesday, February 24th, 2009. I'm going to take the bills out of order and do the work session on Senate Bill 205 before the public hearing on Senate Bill 20. So I'm going to open a work session on Senate Bill 205 and ask Lori to give us a brief summary of Senate Bill 205.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, we had the public hearing on the 17th of February, to recall, and some testimony then from the Construction Contractors Board. Senate Bill 205 does a variety of things with the statutory provisions that are already applicable to the to contractors. It specifies the type of work in a residential structure, zero lot line dwelling that's subject to the written contract. It clarifies a number of terms. It expands the warranty offer requirement. It adds the original purchaser to persons receiving the consumer notice form. It specifies the time for the contractor to provide a recommended maintenance schedule, and it eliminates a requirement about making that maintenance schedule information available without charge. That's it.
Thank you very much. And we had no unspoken opposition to the bill, and we have no expenditure impact and no revenue impact. So
I
will entertain a motion.
Madam Chair.
You're trying to intercede on my big moment.
Sorry, this was your moment. Madam Chair, I would just like to defer to Senator Sherrod on his birthday.
Thank you so much. Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 205 to the floor with a do-pass recommendation.
Thank you. Senator Girard moves Senate Bill 205 to the floor with a do-pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Any further discussion? Seeing none, the clerk will call the roll. We're doing a work session on Senate Bill 205.
That wonderful bill. Senator Burdick?
Aye.
Senator Girard?
Aye.
Senator Rosenbaum?
Aye.
Vice Chair George?
Oops.
Excused.
Aye.
The motion passes, and I would like to give Senator Girard a birthday present today and ask him if he will carry the bill on the Senate floor.
This is just the best one ever.
Thank you very much, Senator Girard, for carrying Senate Bill 205. And now I'll open a public hearing on Senate Bill 20. Lori, would you please give us a summary of the bill?
I would be happy to. Madam Chair and members of the committee, Senate Bill 20 requires the Director of the Department of Consumer and Business Services to adopt design and construction standards to mitigate radon levels in new commercial buildings intended for human occupancy, new single-family and multifamily residential buildings. It requires the Director to consider standards recommended by the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. It specifies the counties to which the standards apply and gives the Director authority to apply standards to other counties if the Director deems it appropriate. It allows the Director to give certain municipalities right to administer and enforce radon mitigation standards adopted by the director. And it allows the director to adopt rules to implement and enforce the standards. There have already been some amendments put forth to the first statutory draft, and the amendments would apply to radon mitigation standards adopted by the director to include public buildings, and it added a couple counties, Clackamas and Washington, to the list of counties subject to the standards, and then it also added provision that would require the director to consult with the Department of Human Services about other counties that might be appropriately subject to the standards.
Thank you so much. And I have three people who have signed up as proponents for Senate Bill 20, and I'll call them up together. Since we have three chairs, I have Steve Tucker, Bev Stewart, and Marlene McEwen, please.
Do you have it?
Welcome, and I don't know if you've decided who's going to go first. It's really up to you. If you want to just make sure you say your name first, please, before you begin your testimony. Thank you and welcome.
Thank you.
All right. Chair Bonamici and committee, good afternoon. My name is Beverly Stewart. I am here representing the American Lung Association in Oregon. It's our mission to save lives by improving lung health and preventing lung disease. And Senate Bill 20 is an important step in achieving our mission for Oregonians. Radon is a naturally occurring radioactive gas that's found in the Earth's soil and rock, and it's colorless, odorless, and it's a health hazard when it reaches high levels inside homes and buildings. Air pressure inside a building is usually lower than the air pressure in the soil, and other structures around the foundation. Because of this difference in pressure, the building acts like a vacuum, and it draws right on in through cracks and other openings. The Surgeon General has warned that radon is the leading cause of lung cancer for non-smokers. If you smoke and your home has high radon levels, your risk of lung cancer is especially high. Alone, radon accounts for 12% of lung cancer deaths each year. These 22,000 lung cancer deaths outnumber the amount of Americans killed by drunk driving every year. Lung cancer kills more people than breast, colon, and prostate cancers combined. And lung cancer is the only disease associated with radon exposure. Now, the Environmental Protection Agency recommends that homes in places with high radon potential be built with radon-resistant features. The Environmental Protection Agency also quotes that about 1 in 15 levels of homes have elevated levels of radon. I've included in your packet a chart that was created by Scott Burns, who is professor and chair of the Department of Geology at Portland State University. That's this right here. That highlights high radon levels in the Portland area. And it's important to point out that even though buildings that are in low radon potential areas can have radon levels high enough to increase risk of lung cancer, the majority of zip codes ranked in this chart are in moderate to high radon potential. Scott Burns, who is out of the country, he's the scientist from Portland State University, is unable to attend the hearing and asked that I share his comments that he strongly supports this bill. He believes that it is scientifically based and can raise awareness about radon and help prevent death. Radon is a preventable health threat to many Oregonians. With an increased emphasis on energy-efficient homes, it's very important that we make sure that these efficient homes are constructed and not locking in radon gas and causing health concerns. The Environmental Protection Agency has compiled the following data about radon-resistant new construction, and they found that it takes 5,292 homes built radon-resistant to save a life, that the radon-resistant new construction cost per life saved is about $80,000. The next two stats are kind of helping with the, if we didn't build radon-resistant new construction and we were to just mitigate, it takes a mitigation of 1,542 existing homes to save a life, and the cost per life saved is $400,000. So it's definitely cheaper to mitigate in the first place. By including radon-resistant new construction, we can assure that new buildings are constructed that promote lung health. Our goal is to decrease the number of new buildings constructed that put Oregonians at risk of developing lung cancer through radon exposure. I want to thank you for listening to me and hope that you support Senate Bill 20. Thanks.
Thank you very much for your testimony. And we'll wait for questions until all three of you have testified. So. Next, you want to go next, Marlene?
I'd love to.
Thank you.
My name is Marlene McEwen, and I am the widow 4 years ago of my late husband, Bob, who, if I can get to stand up straight so you can see him, he was diagnosed with lung cancer as a non-smoker. Never been around any kind of secondhand smoke or any kind of exposure to any other kinds of carcinogens or asbestos or anything in his life. He was 48 years old when he was diagnosed with lung cancer. He had no warning signs. Lung cancer is considered an invisible disease because it's very hard to diagnose in the beginning stages. By the time he was diagnosed, it had been in his system for 2 years, they estimated. He had a lump on his neck that he thought was actually a muscle that he had pulled. He was in construction, and he went to the doctor. He was having a hard time turning his neck and found out that it was a lymph node, and they did some blood tests that all came out negative. And as a precautionary measure, they did a chest x-ray and found a major tumor in the lower right lobe of his lung. We proceeded with MRIs and CAT scans after that and found out that it had metastasized to his entire lymph system, and it was also in his bones. He lived for a little over 15 months, 9 months after his diagnosis. The cancer went into his brain. He had 9 metastases in his brain. A month later, it went into the lining of his brain, his spinal column. He lived a very short time after that. He died at 49 years old. He left myself, four children, and one grandchild. And for me, this has been the most terrifying, helpless experience of my life, and of course the most painful. When Bob was diagnosed, he went on the internet and found out that radon was the leading cause of cancer, lung cancer among non-smokers. He then went and tried to find a test kit. He couldn't find one at your local hardware store or anything that was very accessible. He did find one at Home Depot and bought that for $10, came home, we read the instructions, we put it out for 3 days in our basement, and we sent away for the test results. At this point, I called the EPA in Washington, D.C., and I said, we live in Lake Oswego, and we just tested our home for radon, and we think that we have high levels. And they said, well, you don't even need to test. Lake Oswego is 1.8 average. You are below the action level. I said, well, we've already sent the test in. We'll go ahead and wait for the results. Now, bear in mind, 4 is a radon action level. Anything below that is considered that you don't have to mitigate at this time in the U.S. We were at 57.2, 15 times the level of radon in our home. We had it mitigated a couple months after Bob was diagnosed. It was too late for Bob. And the really ironic part is that I was born in that house. It's my family home. I lived there until I was 18 and went to college, and then moved back there with Bob in 1991 to raise our children, whom my parents downsized. So it can happen to anyone. We never thought that we would ever be in a position to have to deal with something like this. Bob's wish prior to his death was that public awareness of radon would be increased, that homes would be mitigated, and the tragedy is that we told our neighbors shortly after he was diagnosed, and half of them decided to test, and they were all high. Of the people that decided to test, half of them decided not to do anything about it, and they're putting themselves at risk. And that I think, is a travesty. I also want to shed some light on the fact that there are some important facts I think you need to hear. Bev already said that the leading cause of lung cancer among non-smokers is radon exposure. One out of every 15 homes in the U.S. is estimated to have radon levels above the action level of 4 picocuries. That's 8 million in total. AARST, which is the American Association of Radon Scientists and Technologists, estimates that 150,000 homes are built in the U.S., and it's an estimated there's only 80,000 homes that are mitigated, so that's way behind the curve. And Bev also said the thing about breast cancer, prostate cancer, and colon cancer. And the next three are staggering facts that are very important in my opinion. A family who has radon levels of 4 picocuries is exposed to approximately 35 times as much radiation as the Nuclear Regulatory Commission would allow if that family was standing next to the fence of a radioactive waste site. An elementary school student who spends 8 hours per day and 180 hours per year in the classroom with 4 picocuries of radon will receive nearly 10 times as much radiation as the Nuclear Regulatory Commission allows at the edge of a nuclear power plant. Most U.S. EPA lifetime safety standards for carcinogens are based on a 1 to 100,000 risk of death. Most scientists agree that the risk of death for radon at 4 picocuries is approximately 1 in 100. At the 4 picocurie EPA action guideline, radon carries approximately 1,000 times the risk of death as any other EPA carcinogen. It is a class 1 carcinogen. It is important to note that the action level is not a safe level, as there are no safe levels of radon gas. And what I want you to know is that this bill contains the radon mitigation systems in new construction, which is incredibly inexpensive, and I think Steve's going to address that. We had a double system put in because we had two ventings put in because our home is at such high levels, and it's now down to safe levels of 2.2. And the cost of that was $3,500, and it's a negligible cost to have it put in new construction, and it will save so many lives so that no one has to go through what our family went through And if you need a picture of who was left behind, this is myself and my children and my husband and my only grandchild. It's a very tragic story. And I've done everything I can. In the last 4 years, I've been working with the American Lung Association. I spent the last week of January back in Washington, D.C., talking to 30 senators about this. We have a national bill that's being presented as well. I'm extremely passionate about this. And I don't understand why the real estate agents are against this, and I don't understand why the home builders are against this. Obviously, it's never affected their families, because to me, it's what is the cost of a life. Thank you very much for hearing me today.
Thank you for your testimony. Steve?
Yes, my name is Steve Tucker. I've been a radon mitigation and testing specialist for over 18 years, and I've worked in all three West Coast states, California, Oregon, and Washington. I don't know how much you want to know about my background, but I'm here basically to speak on behalf of radon testing and mitigation. And the number of $3,500 was mentioned for a single-family residence. Had that house been built with what they call radon-resistant construction in the first place, basic construction techniques under the existing building codes require certain components already be built in that are already probably at least 75 to 80% towards a radon-resistant home in the first place. And for a typical single-family residence in Oregon, to take it the one step further, for that system to be complete is probably in the hundreds of dollars. Now, you compare that with the overall cost of construction. I've also been a building contractor for 30 years. Now, if this were to become law, it doesn't do me. I could be construed as being biased. I'm in the business of radon testing and mitigation. Understood. But in order to put these systems in, you don't have to be certified by the EPA or anybody else. You have to be a licensed contractor. And any contractor can have these systems put in with their normal crew or plumber or anybody else that's working on the job site. It is not rocket science by any means. So as far as health insurance, if you want to call it, for any sort of building, whether it's a school or a home, this is extremely cheap insurance, and it is extremely easy to put in. You know, all this stuff all the materials required for this are available at Home Depot or your local hardware store, even, most of them. We're just talking simple piping and plastic liners and stuff, and most of this stuff is already, as I said, put into a structure, whether it's commercial or residential already. Testing is extremely simple. Any homeowner can do a home test. They're available at the local hardware store, Home Depot. You can buy them online very cheaply, usually for less than $20. You can get a home test kit and find out if you have a problem. The EPA suggests that every home, every property test for radon. That's not me. That's the EPA. So as far as installation, as far as testing, it is extremely cost-effective. It's a fraction of a fraction of a fraction when it comes to building a home or a building. You always want to test after something's finished to see if it's what you put in needs to be connected. Essentially, when you rough a system into a building, you've got whatever is underneath the whatever's in the crawl space or under the slab, and a vent pipe going up through the roof. I'm just describing this is exactly how simple it is. And if you end up with your house having high levels, you connect the dots. You might have to put an exhaust fan in the attic or wherever, and those fans usually run anywhere from 14 to maybe 100 watts. We're talking a light bulb. That's how simple it is. I think it would be nice to see Oregon become proactive as a state along these lines. Washington already has. Washington State, they have at least 9 counties that it's on their code books that says any new building being built or an addition has to have a radon component roughed in. Simple as that. And once again, that is in the low hundreds just to do that over and above what your normal construction components in a building were going to be anyway. So I don't know if there's anything else that... you think I should add?
Happy to be open to questions.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Marlene, I want to thank you so much. I know it's hard to get up and tell a personal story like that, especially in this kind of setting. So sorry for your loss, and thank you for being an advocate. Steve, I wanted to ask if you could describe a little bit about what exactly goes in. I know you said something about pipes and attic fan, but, for example, could you describe a little
tour?
Bit, sure, about what,
sure.
what mitigation, what
well,
you need to do?
At the risk of being a little redundant, radon is generated by the breakdown of uranium. I'm not an expert. I'm not a scientist or epidemiologist, but I'm a contractor. But in a nutshell, radon is generated by the breakdown of uranium in the soil. And as far as I know, all soils have some degree of uranium in them. And it so happens that much of the soil in the Willamette Valley gives off higher levels of radon. Radon is simply one of the stages in the breakdown of uranium on the way to becoming lead, I believe it is. Radon is drawn into a structure by pressure differences. Convection, air rising. Simple as that. So if you think of that in a structure as a negative pressure, that suction, radon's not pushing its way, and it's actively being drawn into a structure. And it can be any structure of any construction type of any age. So some of the myths are, I've got a basement, I don't have to worry. I've got a slab on grade, concrete slab house, I don't have to worry. I've got a crawl space, I don't have to worry. Those are all myths. You don't know until you test the house. So if you once again consider that draw up into the house as a negative pressure, typically the way radon mitigation works is simply by either giving, you want to give the gas a path of least resistance away from coming into the house. Now, if it's an existing structure, what you would do is you would create a sump pump through the floor of the house or the bottom level of the house. You'd seal a vent pipe into it, take that to above the roof line one way or the other. You put an exhaust fan and along with that vent pipe, and you turn the fan on, it causes a suction in the ground under the house, reverses that pressure difference, basically telling the radon, don't listen to the pull of the house, stay down, follow this force path of least resistance out. We helped install a system up in North Bonneville. This is Washington State, because they were required to. But I helped consult with Akron Moisson Architects in Portland for this one, and basically it's thousands of square feet of new building. It's a retirement building. We said, okay, you put in the plastic vapor barrier before the concrete was poured. That's normal. That's standard. They put gravel underneath it, you get a nice porous layer for the gas to flow freely horizontally. That's normal. That's part of construction. Okay, we're going to add a little bit of that. We're going to put a loop of perforated pipe buried in that gravel to help collect that gas easily. And up in a couple places, up through the heart of the building, is a pipe, several pipes. Right up to the attic, right up to the roof, just a cap on top. No fan, no electricity, no power usage whatsoever. And that pipe, once the building's up and running, is heated by the heat. There's convection created in that pipe in the core of the building, basically giving that path a passive path of least resistance from under the building on up that pipe and to above the roof and out into the normal airstream. Had that been retrofitted after the fact, it would have cost them many, many thousands of dollars more. And it would have been far less aesthetic, shall we say, as well. And they would have had electric power to contend with increased electrical power. After the building was up and running, it works like a charm passively. No bells, no whistles, no power, no fans. Simple as that. Some pipe and some testing. Over and beyond what was normally called for anyway, bingo.
I would like to point out that it's impossible to test before the home is built. That's
true.
The purpose of this bill.
That's true.
You cannot test until the walls are in and everything is contained and the radon can actually be contained. Mm-hmm. You are breathing radon right now. We are all breathing radon. We are in an open area, so it tends to be less concentrated. Unless there's granite in this building, which I'm sure there is at some point, and probably a higher level here. Makes me wonder if this has been tested.
There are soil gas tests you can do in case somebody brings.
Sorry to interrupt, but as you speak, it's a little awkward, but if you could just say your name again just so it's clear for the record who's speaking.
Marlene McEwen.
Steve Tucker, just to expand upon that, in case somebody brings it up later, there are soil gas tests you can do to test soil, how much gas is being generated potentially in soil, say in a blank lot someplace. But there's no way that I know of, anybody I know in the field, that can translate that into what the levels might be in a building that's then built upon that, even if you've got the blueprints. There's no way to do that translation, what the rail line levels may end up being once the building's in place and up and running.
Thank you. Questions, committee? Mm-hmm. Senator Rosenbaum.
Thanks, Madam Chair. And I guess, Steve, this would be a question for you.
Yes.
One of the things that I've read about is that in addition to the soil composition, that we tend to have a fairly high rate of weatherization and people taking advantage of, you know, what we want them to do, which is to make their homes energy efficient, and so that has the effect of trapping radon in the home. So can you talk a little bit about sort of how the mitigation efforts that you're involved in interact with people's, I mean, I would assume if you have a lot of fresh air coming into your home, it makes it less energy efficient, but at the same time, maybe you're releasing or not trapping as much of...
Well, besides dealing with, there's just two basic schools of mitigation. One is dealing with those pressure differences I was talking about, and the other is dilution. So if you have a home or basement that tests high, you could open two opposing windows with cross ventilation and probably, which you don't know without testing, probably drop the radon levels like a rock. But when you build a house to the new energy standards, it's much tighter. It allows the gases, you still have the convection, the pull of the gas up into the house. And even with new construction standards with vapor barrier, plastic vapor barriers underneath concrete foundations, concrete with steel and so on, a lot of the older houses don't have steel, so you get those old basements with lots of cracking and heaving of the slabs and stuff. Radon's a gas. All it takes is a hairline crack. It takes a plumbing penetration. Most of the plumbers I've ever talked to, they don't know anything about the fact that they put a foam separation between the concrete they pour in the pipe so that when concrete expands and contracts, it doesn't break the pipe. Well, guess what? It's a radon path. So you pour a concrete floor and you have a tub or a shower. Underneath that tub or shower, there's a pit right through the slab to the soil because that's where the plumbing comes up for the shower or the tub. It's a chimney for radon to come in. And even there's no way you can 100% seal a gas out, no matter how careful you are. When you've got a brand new structure that is built to local codes or to current codes and energy efficient, you're probably in most cases increasing the draw of the radon to the house, and you're also the house or the building, whatever type of building it is going to retain the gas and allow it to build up even higher. Now, with passive built-in systems in the very first place, is what we're talking about here, the gas, once again, it's going to follow the path of least resistance. It's not going to be pulled into the house. It's going to flow on out and be outside. So that's the beauty of this. And once again, any contractor can do this. They don't have to hire a specialist to do this. So it's quite simple to do.
Thank you. Other questions?
I hope that answers your question.
Yes, thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you very much.
I've
got to
say one more.
Sure, go ahead.
I just wanted to point out that I did bring radon test kits. They're $4. If any of you are interested in taking them home, you're welcome to them.
See, who's on the ethics committee?
Can interpret whether we can take those.
Under 50.
$4.
Can we take them?
I think
we should do that.
That's a third of the cost.
Members.
Steve Tucker, that's a third of the cost if you buy it online.
Oh, well, then you can't. You have to pay retail. I'm serious. You have to pay retail.
Committee, are you fine with taking those and testing them? I think it's a good idea, unless it...
I paid $4 for this.
Oh, you paid $4?
About it.
Oh, okay.
Madam Chair, I would start with testing the building we're in.
Yeah.
Well, I'll leave them here if you're interested.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Thank
appreciate
you.
That.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your testimony. Scott Berry from the Home Builders, you want to come on up?
Good afternoon, members of the committee. Scott Berry on behalf of the Oregon Home Builders, and I think I'll start off by just saying I'm not sure how it was discovered that we were opposed to radon testing in homes. I don't know that I've had a conversation with any one of the members of the committee on this issue, so I'm not sure where that came from. Oregon is certainly progressive on everything that we do in this state, including building codes, and we have one of the most energy-efficient codes in the state. I think what we have here probably is something that hasn't been discussed before. Certainly, it's nothing that we were approached with prior to this session, and I think something we'd have been happy to work on and will be happy to work on in the future. It may have been an issue that would have been better served as an interim issue before we came in, but until this bill was printed, we never heard anything about it. So I think we would like some time to do some of our own research and find out just exactly what we can about radon in Oregon. I know the committee, the counties on the bill, for instance, are different than the counties listed on the EPA map in terms of zones that are listed for high radon. So, you know, whether we even can use a county map to determine how I think, as the previous speakers mentioned, how concentrated the radon area may be in a specific area. If you've got uranium potentially causing radon gas, it may be very small specific area and may not be needed in much of the area. So I think all those things are things we'd like to spend some time working with. I think we have some concern with just giving blanket authority to an agency to start declaring counties as places that may or may not have to have radon mitigation done in them. But those are smaller issues and things I think we can certainly deal with had we had any idea before this bill was brought forward that that it was going to be an issue for the session.
Any questions for Mr. Berry?
Senator Rosenbaum. Thank you, Madam Chair. And, Scott, I totally appreciate being taken by surprise. It's happened to me more times than I care to remember. But are you at all familiar with the Washington situation that was referred to in the earlier testimony?
Chair Bonamici, Senator Rosenbaum, no. I mean, I think the conversation that just occurred was some new information for us as well. So apparently there are some counties up there. We'll certainly check into that. We've got a good relationship with our home building groups up in that area, so happy to look into that, find out what they're doing and how they got to that. And I haven't looked at a radon map for Washington, just for Oregon. I know in parts of other parts of the nation it's a real serious issue. It hasn't been, obviously, according to the EPA maps, a serious issue in Oregon, but that's not to say serious things don't happen, obviously. So again, we're happy to look into that and start that conversation.
Thank you. Any questions? Senator Gerard? Senator Burns?
Just one more quick comment, and that is that as you look at legislation like this, and oftentimes I think legislation is directed at new housing, but we build a small percent of 1% of the housing every year. And so as you look at this as an issue, I assume it's an issue in existing housing, because that's all that there is out there right now is existing housing. So as we start to make those changes, I would just bring that up as an issue to look at as well, because certainly that's a slow way to solve the problem.
Thank you very much. Committee, it's my intention to ask the interested parties to get together and talk about a lot of the issues that were raised today. This bill was a committee bill. We were surprised by it, too, so I wanted to give it a hearing so that we could get these issues out on the table. I know there's a couple people here from the Department of Consumer and Business Services Building Code Division, and because they're involved in, at least in this bill, I think they'd be like to be included in the discussion. So I'm going to ask the people who testified here today to get together, and anyone else in the room or listening who's interested in this issue, and then if you'll come back and let me know what you've decided in terms of, do you think we can do something with this bill now to set up, maybe we could set up a task force to look at it or an interim work group. If you'll come back to me soon and let me know where you think things stand, because I think it's an important issue and there's room to, certainly room to address it. And you raised some good points, Scott, about new buildings and existing buildings having the need for some testing and mitigation. So if you could get together and then come back and let me know what your plans are, I'm willing to work with you if you see some room to do something this session with Senate Bill 20, but I'd like to see you get together and take some steps forward. Any questions?
No? Madam Chair, that sounds like a good approach.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator. All right, I'm going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 20 and close our meeting for today. Thank you. We are adjourned.